Dear Heavenly Father, You alone are holy. There is none beside Thee. We praise You for who You are, for what You have done. We are thankful that You are our Lord and our Savior and our God. And now, Lord, as we open up the Word, I ask You to open up our minds and our hearts to You, that we may hear and we may understand what You have for us from Your Word today. We just pray this in Your name. Amen. All right. You know, God is good in so many ways. And He knows things, everything. You know, it's been a crazy week. Last Tuesday, we found out that, you know, the couple days before that, we found out that we were going to have to move. And we didn't find out till Tuesday if we had gotten the place that we were moving to. So last Tuesday we found out. So Wednesday we started packing up. And God had put this Team Jesus series on my heart about a month ago and what I was going to be covering each week. And this week I was covering something that I've shared before and I was very comfortable. And God says, you know, go back and I want you to hit it and share it again and share a new aspect that maybe people may not know. So, but this is something that was pretty easy for me to put together as a sermon wise. And this week I needed that because we were swamped trying to move out of a house into another house. And I didn't have a lot of time as I usually do throughout the week to pour into my sermon. God is good. He takes care of every. He sees the smallest needs we have. And He works and He takes care of us. And I was just very impressed with God this week. And, you know, as we sang that first song, He's our provider. And He has provided for me and my family. He's provided for this church. He's just, God is good. And we are on the best team ever. All right? Team Jesus. In this series so far, we've looked at as the team that God has on the field right now, the church, the faithful church. There are many churches on the earth, but not many of them are faithful. And the Bible warns us of corrupt churches and dead churches and compromising churches and lukewarm churches and loveless churches. But there's a faithful church, and that's what we strive to be. And the faithful church, God says, you've persevered, you've kept my word. And that's the focus for us here, is to keep the word central, to obey it. And He says, you have little strength, you're not big, you're not. But this is the church that God says, I've opened the door that no one can shut. And that's what, as Team Jesus, we are striving to be the faithful church and to have this door opened by God that we can go through. And we can minister and we can be salt and light to people who desperately need it. Because the world is full of sinners, lost. And there's so many false gospels out there that have led people into greater deception. They think they're okay with God and they're not. And many of us used to be like that. I was. And by God's grace, we're brought out of that deception, out of the darkness, into His light. And we find out there's a better way of life. Because, you know, many people treat God as a bank or, you know, a blessing portal where you just come to take from God. You know, there was a time that Jesus did a great miracle feeding the 5,000. Then there are people that followed after Him. They wanted to be with Jesus, but they weren't coming for Him. They were coming to receive from Him, to take from Him things. They wanted more bread. And Jesus looked at him and said, no, you want bread from me, but you don't want the true bread that's come down from heaven. The bread that'll give you eternal life. You don't want that. You see, a lot of people treat the church and God as something to take from. And we're to receive a gift from Him. We're to receive Him. There's nothing greater. But so many people are lost and don't understand this concept of being born again and what it truly means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And the faithful church's task was sharing the truth, helping people come out of the darkness into the light. That's why we're Team Jesus. And we're Team Jesus because God looked down here and said, these are the best. These are the ones I need on my team, right? No. We're probably the worst ones that God would pick. No one would want us on their team. We're not here because of our worth and God needed us to be on His team. No, we're here simply by His grace. It's an honor for us, an honor we don't deserve. We're here, not because of us, but because of Him. But because of Him, He has made us something special. We see this in 1 Peter. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. We're special because God gave us grace. God has given us His salvation, His Spirit. And now we are unique to serve Him. Not serve ourselves, but to serve Him. That you may proclaim in this world the praises of Him who called you out of darkness, out of deception, out of sin, into His marvelous light, into His truth. We have a testimony to share with the world. You who once were not a people of God, but now are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And to accomplish this as His special people, as His team on the field, He's given us His Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power to share your testimony. Power to share the gospel. And a power to live in such a way that people will see Jesus Christ in you. That's what we will discuss today. But there's a warning I always have to share here. The warning to the watchmen. The watchmen and watchwomen, that is what we are. We know something that the world doesn't understand or know. That there's a judgment coming. There's a great danger coming to those who are lost and trapped in their sin. We see the judgment coming. We are to warn people. Warn them to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ to be forgiven, to be saved, to escape the wrath to come, the judgment. But if we fail to do what God has done for us, what God has empowered us to do, if we fail to warn people, if we fail to share our testimonies and the gospel with people so they can be saved, let me read to you from Ezekiel. But if the watchman or the watchwoman sees the sword coming, the judgment, and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, his sinful state, but his blood, the sinner's blood, I will require at the watchman's hand. God will hold us accountable. Spurgeon said, it's the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. That's what Team Jesus is about. That is what we are about. So far we've looked at sharing the gospel and sharing our testimony. Today we need to understand the equipment that we have. You know, every sports team has specialized equipment. And you must learn how to use that equipment to perform as a good player, as a good team. For us, our equipment is quite unique. Our equipment is that of a soldier. But it's not literal. We don't literally have a sword. We don't literally have the armor. But this is equipment that we must understand. And we must use correctly. Like I said, it's the equipment of a soldier. And that's what we've been called. As Team Jesus, we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore must endure hardship And being a Christian, being a disciple, being on Team Jesus is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life if you do it according to God's standards. But a lot of people have changed church to be comfortable and fuzzy and entertaining, and it's all about them and it's easy. But if you actually become a disciple, if you actually die to self, if you actually become a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ, then being a disciple, being Team Jesus, is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. Therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Jesus enlisted us. He drafted us. You know, when I joined the Marine Corps out of high school, we had a book, and it's in a box somewhere. I couldn't find it. We had this guidebook for a basic Marine. All the things you needed to understand as a Marine. You had to read that book and understand it. Then when I became an officer in the U.S. Army, I got my Army Officer's Guide. It's a book about being an officer, everything you're supposed to know, the basics. You're supposed to study this to know this. You know, we have a manual on Team Jesus. It's called the Bible. This is our manual. This is what we need to know to be able to perform like we're supposed to. What does the Bible say about itself? 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work that God calls us to. What prepares us? What makes us understand our equipment and to be equipped? This. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the very heart and soul of a person. Today we want to look at the full armor of God. Now, most of the time when you look or someone teaches on this, they teach it in context, which they should, of spiritual warfare. That as believers, spiritually, we are to look like these soldiers ready for battle. Because there's spiritual warfare raging all around us. And we're called to make a stand in the evil day to stand for truth. We're to stand against the father of lies, the devil. We're to stand so people that are lost in deception can find truth, can find Christ. But the armor of God is not only about fighting evil. I've taught on that before, and I don't need to cover that aspect of fighting the spiritual warfare in the sense that we're out there battling with the gospel and the truth and taking on lies. There's another aspect of the armor of God that plays out in our life every day if we allow it. You see, the armor of God is not just for fighting. The armor of God is our identity. The armor of God is a lifestyle we are called to live. And as Team Jesus, we can say it's our uniform. See, the armor of God is who we're supposed to be. I remember when I first joined the Marine Corps, and I was in boot camp for about a week, and I had fire watch duty. And so I was there by myself in the squad bay, and the platoon had gone to eat chow. And I would stay there to watch all the weapons that we had there in the squad bay on our racks. And Everyone was gone. The drill instructors were gone. And I remember we had a mirror in outside the bathroom, what we called the head. And for the first time in a week, I got to look into the mirror. And for the first time, I saw myself from head to toe in my nation's uniform. And I just stood there because my head had been shaved, all my hair was gone. And I'm standing there in this uniform now. And I had a new identity. I mean, at that point, I'm not a Marine. They don't call you a Marine until the end. But at that time, you know, but I was a military man. What I always wanted to be ever since I was a little. And there I had made it. I was there. I had a new purpose and meaning in life. Life was no longer about me. It was about serving my country. It's the same with us. We're new creations with a new purpose and a new meaning. The armor of God defines who we are. Let's look at what it is. Let's look at the belt of truth. Now, again, this is imagery, symbolic of something that's going to play out in our lives. We're not literally going to put on a soldier's belt. But here we have this belt that spiritually we're to put on. The belt was the foundation. That's where you hung your weapons. It kept your armor secure to your body. Last thing you want to do is have your armor bouncing around on your body. It rubs your body raw, the skin, and it's just loose and it doesn't protect you as well. So the belt secured everything. Without the belt, you were in trouble. The belt of truth. For us, the belt of truth is Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Levi. Jesus is our truth. The Bible tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. You see, in our new identity, we came out of darkness into the light. Jesus is the truth. He's the only truth. There are so many versions of truth in this world. And today, truth is relative. Truth can be whatever you want it to be. No, it's not true. But a lot of people believe it is truth. But for those who know Jesus Christ, you know the truth. Your life is no longer lived in deception. Your life is no longer lived under a lie. You live in the truth. And when you know the truth, that truth sets you free. You live in freedom. Even if you were literally in a cage, as some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries where Christianity is illegal and they get thrown into a jail, they're still free because they know the truth. Physically, they may be in a cage. Spiritually, they're free. To walk through this life, we don't know what we don't. Sometimes we take it for granted the blessing of truth. Pontius Pilate looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? Plato, Aristotle, the great thinkers or so-called great thinkers of human history have debated on what truth is. To people today say there is no truth, or other people say you can't know the truth and all this stuff. But do you know what a blessing it is to have the truth? And nothing in this world can change it. Freedom. We don't have to go searching any longer for meaning and purpose. We have it. We have the truth. We can live our life with meaning and purpose. Next piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The function of the breastplate was simple. It was to protect the soldier's vital organs. Now, and understanding this spiritually, the breastplate of righteousness is not our own righteous good deeds. It's about having Jesus, because Jesus is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us, Jesus became for us, wisdom from God and righteousness. You see, if you want to go to heaven, you have to be righteous. And the Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. Even in here, none of us are righteous. But Christ became our righteousness. When He died on the cross, and when you turn from your sins, you put your faith in Him, God gives you the righteousness of Christ upon you. No longer do you have to try to do the religious things and the burden of trying to be good and good enough. You know, there's false religions and there's cults where people are constantly working. They have to work constantly. They have to ring your doorbell, knock on your door. They have to constantly be working to maintain their righteousness. It's a burden. It's hard. And you never know if you've worked hard enough or long enough to have righteousness. That's what religion does to people. But see, as Jesus, we get to wake up each day knowing the truth and understanding that God has made us righteous through Christ. We don't have to be perfect today. We don't have to do so many good works to have God's approval and God's love at the end of the day. We have it. Again, it's freedom. Freedom from religion. Freedom from having to work and labor and try to earn God's love. You have it. Because Jesus is our righteousness. Again, it's a freedom to life. The next one is the shoes of peace. Very important for a soldier to have good footwear, good solid stand on the ground, you know. You don't want to be knocked over. You don't want to be unbalanced. You don't want to have bad traction. You want your feet planted solidly on the ground, especially when you're fighting. And the sandals that the soldiers of war had, little studs, something that we would call cleats today, that give you traction and give you a good solid fix on the ground foundation. The shoes of peace. Jesus is our peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ comes into our lives, we live by the truth. We rest in the righteousness that God has given us, not of ourselves, but of Him. And we have peace. No matter what goes on in this world, financial collapses, government elections going the way we don't want them to go, or viruses, disease, family issues, whatever storms come our way, whatever things are not good come our way. You see, the believer in Christ has peace. No matter what happens, nothing will change our relationship with God. Nothing will affect our standing with God. We always have peace. You know, Paul was put into prison. And we know one of the prison cells, it's a museum now, where Paul was imprisoned. And at the time, when he was put in there, he was beaten and he was thrown in there naked. And he was chained with his hands and his feet. And in this cell where the prisoners would be chained, where Paul was chained, the sewage of the city flowed through the cell. And the prisoner who was chained would be immersed in it. Disgusting. But in the midst of that terrible situation, we hear Paul singing praises to God. The peace, the joy, the love that he had because he was in Christ was there. It didn't matter. His circumstances were terrible. And we can find, again, great freedom and rest in the peace that we have because of Jesus Christ. no matter what may come into our lives, we have Christ. So we can have peace. When we take our eyes off of Christ and we start looking at our circumstances, we can lose our peace. But if we remember who we are, we remember that peace. We stand in the righteousness of Christ, in the truth of Jesus Christ, we will have peace. It's a peace that goes beyond human understanding at times. Because you can be in a situation that's so terrible. And I've shared with the church before, the worst, the darkest moment of my life was when the doctors told me my daughter was going to die of cancer. Still hurts. I remember the night before the surgery. This is the darkest, worst moment of my life. I was begging God. And a peace rolled over me. And it wasn't a peace that everything was going to be fine. It was a peace that God was there. And He was going to be with me. And He understood exactly what I was feeling. And He gave me what I needed to walk through what I was about to walk through with my daughter. A peace that I can't describe. That was so calming, so loving, so encompassing. I was able to stand. Jesus is our peace. Shield of faith. The shield was the only protection from the flaming arrows and stuff that the archers would shoot as soldiers. And so you'd want a good shield and you want to learn to use it correctly and stand behind it. Because sometimes there'd be arrows coming from all directions and they'd be armor piercing arrows. Even if you're wearing your armor, it could pierce it. But the shield would stop them. Jesus is our shield of faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, none of us had faith to believe in Jesus. There's none who even seek after Him. So how do we come to Jesus Christ? People say, well, I started seeking God. No, you didn't. God started seeking you and coming to you, and through the circumstances, whatever it may have been, He used them so that you used to have the idea to either come to church or to go listen to, a pastor somewhere or a preacher. We didn't seek God on our own. God sought us. And then He brings us to that moment where we can make the choice to repent and be born again and put our faith in Him, or to reject His free gift. But when we come to that moment, the faith that we need to believe, to truly repent and put our faith in Christ, it's not within us. It comes from God. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. God gives us the faith to believe in Him. He's the author of the faith in us. And He's also the finisher. You see, the world's going to hit us. Not just spiritual warfare aspect, flaming arrows coming at us. All sorts of things will hit us. From our jobs to our family. So lots of things will hit us in this life that will shake what we may believe, what we may be trusting in. But when you have that shield of faith, when you have Christ, everything that comes into your life is filtered through Him. I remember one time, God put me through the ringer when I started to seek Him, to serve Him, because there was so much wrong with me. And He had to fix all these problems and issues to turn me into something that could serve Him. And one was that I was the provider for my family. I always took pride in that as a man. I provided for my family. Until God made it where I couldn't provide for my family. Because it was really Him providing for my family. I didn't understand that. And so, you know, I've been through many occupations and jobs along the way to God teaching me different things here and there. But I remember one time I was fired from a teaching position at a Christian high school. And I was fired, I knew, for the wrong reason. But I was fired nonetheless. Not fired, but let go. And I've been through so much that, you know, you lose your job. You know, I can rattle you. Oh, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to feed my family? But I remember when the guy fired me, or let me go, whatever you want to say, I was calm. And I just remembered, God's got a big company. He'll open the door. I know I know what brought me to this moment in front of this man was the right thing. What I did was the right thing. So when this man said, I'm no longer going to let you teach at this high school, I wasn't panicked. It was a fiery dart any other time. Would have rattled me, would have worried me. But at that point, I had learned enough from God and His provision that He would take care. He would open up a door. And the very next day, a door opened up, another job. When you have Jesus as the author and finisher of your faith, He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I know what you need. I'll take care of it. Seek me first in the kingdom of God. Now, when He says, I know what you need, it usually is different. He has a different opinion of what we need than what we think we need. But trust Him, He knows. No matter what comes our way, when you have Jesus as your faith, as your shield, and everything in this life is filtered through Him, everything that comes into your life is filtered through Him, you can stand. You'll have peace. The helmet of salvation. The helmet, of course, on a soldier protects the head, the brain from injury, concussion, or even worse, a death blow to the head, serious injury. The helmet was there to protect from those blows that would hurt the brain or bring concussion, that would bring confusion. Jesus is the helmet of salvation for us. Jesus is our salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5. For God did not obtain us to wrath, to judgment, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the way. He's the salvation. You know, again, when I look at the helmet of salvation, especially in the beginning, when people are new in the faith, they have doubts. You can't have faith without doubts. Just like you can't have courage without fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is overcoming fear. Faith, you're going to have doubts. But faith will overcome the doubt. The mind, Satan likes to play in the mind. He likes to tempt us there. He likes us to make us doubt. That's what he did with Eve. He made Eve doubt in what God had said. He made Eve doubt who God really was. The enemy likes to play in our mind. The enemy wants us to believe that we don't have salvation, or you can lose your salvation, or you haven't done enough for salvation. You're not good enough for salvation. There's a lot of mind games that go in. The world causes us to fear and doubt. The uncertainty of the economy, viruses, the mind. I heard someone say that 95% of the things we worry about never ever happen? How much time do we worry about things, the future, what we're going to do? I know I spend my time worrying about things until the helmet of salvation my shield of faith and all that gets me back on focus on Jesus. And then I learn to turn my worries and fears over to Him. But the helmet of salvation, Jesus is our salvation. As long as you have that understanding, then no matter what goes on again in this world, your salvation is firm. It's guaranteed. It'll never change. You don't have to doubt. When something comes in, a doubt, you bounce it off the Word of God. You bounce it off Christ. Boom. There's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to fear. The helmet of salvation keeps you focused. Christ is our salvation. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the only weapon in the whole kit, the whole suit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word. He is our sword. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He is. You want to know what Jesus, who Jesus is and what He thinks and what He's like? Then right here. Jesus is the eternal Word. It's always been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God. Everything in this is what it's going to equip you, complete you as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a player on Team Jesus. This is everything. It's alive and powerful. And the more you read it, the more it transforms you. And see, that's what the armor is also about. Yes, the armor is making our stand in the evil day against the lies of the enemy, pushing back with the sword, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing lost souls. Yes, there's a fight, but the armor of God is also your identity. It's also how you're going to live your life. It's how you're going to relate to other people. You see, the whole armor of God, every piece is pointing to Jesus Christ. Every piece is Jesus Christ playing out an aspect in your life. Until the whole armor comes together and Jesus is your life. He's your identity. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 13, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Put Him on. He's the armor. Yes, He's in the inside. He comes in and the Holy Spirit indwells us, the Spirit of God. Yes, Christ is our Lord and our Savior, but it's not good enough just to have Him on the inside. He's got to be on the outside. We have to become Him. In the aspect that when people see us, they're going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ because we are being conformed to the image of the Son. Someone in the prayer time asked, Lord, I think it was Jackie, asked about, Lord, help us to show the love of God. Yes, that's part of the armor. Because the armor is Christ. And when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we put on His attributes, we put on His character, we take His heart. Our heart surrenders to His. Our will surrenders to His will. Our life, sacrifice for Him to use. And we conform to the image of who He is. And when people run into us, they experience the love of Christ. Or that's what they're supposed to. But see, this is a lifestyle. The armor is not just for battle. It's for everyday use. And I'm going to give you one last example of this. This week, I took my armor off. I realized I did. This has been a stressful week. Packing up. Moving. It was last minute, and it all happened kind of fast. There were some great people that showed up to help us, and I thank you for that. But it's been a stressful week, and lo and behold, me and Wendy have been at each other a little bit. Does that ever happen when you marry couples?
No.
Figures. And we start, I think I was getting on her nerve. Yeah. So, yeah, but we were finding each other not talking to each other a couple times. And she was, you know, she was irritating at times this last week. And I realized I wasn't showing her patience. I wasn't being as kind as I could. Why? So I'd taken my uniform off. You see, yeah, I'm a husband, but I'm supposed to be a husband wearing Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to be a father who puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to be a pastor who puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can take him off. He's still there, but we're not showing him like we should. You see, sometimes the fight is not out there. It can be within our homes. It can be within the church, where we need that armor, that understanding that we are identified by Jesus Christ. And we need to honor him. We need to show him. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's who we are. It's who we're supposed to be. We are Team Jesus. We get to live in the truth. Most of the world does not. The truth escapes them. So they are not free. Folks, we're free. We're free from deception, darkness, lies. We get to live in peace. No matter what happens, we have a peace because God is with us and God is going to take care of us. Whatever may happen to the body doesn't matter because it is well with our soul. No. You got a rookie up there in the chair here. I got to break him in. But this week, we have the choice. You have a choice every day. Because every day, hopefully, you get dressed. Literally. All right? Every day when you're putting on your regular clothes, you can remember I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And we live that day doing our best to show Christ, to honor Christ. You're going to make mistakes. There's going to be days and times you might take Christ off. That's what grace is about. Turn back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Put the Lord Jesus Christ back on. This week, we're the team on the field. This week, we are the ones that get to go play the game. We get to go represent Christ. We get to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to live this next week in His truth, in His peace, in His mercy, in His love, His joy. We have so much to be thankful for. We're the team this week. You have a lot. You have the armor. You have Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, the armor is used for fighting the enemy, but the armor is also used to show us who we are, what we represent. Lord, you have saved us. You have sanctified us. You have justified us. We can't ask for more. But Lord, you give us your peace. You give us so much. And there are so many times, Lord, we're unfaithful. You are always faithful, and sometimes we lack. We fall short. Lord, your grace is always there. Your hand is always there to pick us up. You've said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for how great and wonderful and good you are. Lord, help us understand what we have in you as believers, as born-again believers, what we have. And nothing in this world compares to you. And Lord, let us be able to take what we have. Let others see it. And let us put on you, put on the armor. And let us take you wherever we go. And whoever we come in contact with, Lord, that we show them a piece of you. We show them who you are. So they too can have what we have. Lord, you've made us more than we ever could have been by ourselves. In you, we have everything. Let us live in such a way that we honor you and we show you our thankfulness and that we show this world how good you really are. And all God's people said, amen. You guys got 4 minutes, 30 seconds? 4 minutes, 30 seconds? Let's pray. Let's sing. Come on. Woo. Go ahead, Levi. Start it. There you go.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the light, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are surrender, no retreat. We are.
bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the good. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, death, and life. But we will not bow, stand or shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our name. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Okay, this has been our huddle. All right, we're about to go on the playing field. Let's go play our best game yet this week. And with Christ, all things are possible. We can do it. We can play the game. And we're going to give it our best. Because guess what? We get to do something that most people don't get to do. We get to go represent Jesus Christ. We get to go show Jesus Christ because we have Jesus. It's an honor. It's a privilege. We play on Team Jesus. So let's go play. On the count of three, we'll break. One, two, three. Break! Let's go.